Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, everybody. It is Botcast time. It's an Easter Botcast. I've got my little chicks running around. And the Easter Bunny's arrived. Here he is. This is a gentleman, another Botcast virgin, making his inaugural appearance on the podcast, and he's had a torrid journey here to join me today. When he came in, he's travelled all the way down from Leeds, all the way on the M1 on a Monday morning, and it's been pouring down with rain. And when he walked into my office, bless him, I thought he must have swum, because we had to literally mop him down with a tea towel. Either that or he's driven in a convertible car. Chris Collinson, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
You're a little bit damp.
I am indeed.
There's almost steam coming off you, Chris. Chris is a long-term member of the Entrepreneur Circle, and he made a cameo appearance on stage at our last national event. And Chris came to me several months ago with a suggestion and an idea, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that idea was and how it works and slash worked, and what it means going forward. Because many of you expressed surprise at the announcement that we made in February, when we launched the best office supplies business. What on earth is Bottrell doing now, going into office supplies? Why would he want to be selling paper and rulers and staplers and stuff? And the truth of it is, because it's all your fault.
Right, thanks for that, Nigel.
So let's just take this right back. This is genuinely an interesting story. And by the way, there's only about three people listen to this, and they're all driving right now. Okay, so we don't want to distract anyone too much on the road, but you've been in the kind of office supplies environment, in that industry, for quite some time.
I have indeed, over 40 years, in fact.
Goodness me.
I started as a boy packing parcels in a warehouse.
Sounds like a Hobie's ad. What are we doing here? Right, okay.
Well, yeah, it was a bit like that, actually. A bit like that.
Right, come on.
In my latter days, I ran a what was called a dealer group.
Okay.
Called Superstat Limited.
Ooh.
And Superstat Limited's raison d'etre is to group together. I think it's got about 400 members now. Mm-hmm. 400 independent businesses that are all resellers of office supplies.
Okay.
And its role was to make sure they bought it at the right price, and then it produces marketing to help them sell it and advertise it to their customer base.
Okay, so these are all office supply companies.
Correct.
That were working with Superstat.
And absolutely.
Superstat helped them to, okay. And so what was, let's just go back and remembering our early conversation, which was like last summer sometime. It was quite a long time ago now, when we first, you approached me, had this conversation. And explain what the concept was.
Well, essentially, the marketplace has changed in office supplies quite drastically. My expertise isn't really office supplies, it's buying groups.
Okay.
So the idea was to take my office supplies knowledge and my expertise in pulling together a buying group, and take that up the tier one level, from resellers of office supplies to the actual consumers of those office supplies, and form them into a cohesive group that bought together and therefore would save money for themselves.
And you saw in the conversation, you know, said, Nigel, you've got, you know, these thousands of members in Entrepreneur Circle, we could save them a lot of money, was your message to me.
Absolutely.
If we pull everybody together and we formed an EC buying group.
Correct.
And I was, I think it's fair to say my initial response to this was less than unequivocal in my enthusiasm. I'm thinking, yeah, but it's office supplies, Chris. Like, no one really cares about where they get the paper from.
Correct, but the long-term plan is not just office supplies.
Mm.
It's everything that a business needs outside of its core activity.
Okay, so things like?
Electricity, mobile phones, telecoms of all descriptions.
Okay.
As I said, anything outside of your core activity.
Okay.
If you make green widgets, I probably can't help you with your green widgets. But everything outside of that, the stuff that gets in the way, we can help you with.
Okay, so I quite like the idea of EC being able to save our members money. One of the early conversations that we had was, well, how much money could we make? And this bit's quite interesting, because you shared with me what, on average, and recognize this is averages, but what businesses spend on office supplies.
Depends on what you're doing, to be fair, but as a rough rule of thumb, every employee, per employee, a business will be spending between
three. This is a little quiz on the podcast. We know the answer begins with three. Okay. So, what do you think? Have a little think while you're driving along there. Just a little muse. Ooh, I wonder what the average business spends on office supplies. Have you got your answer? Were you a winner? Chris, how much do they spend on office supplies? I bet it begins with a three.
It does begin with a three, but the answer is between £300 and £500 per year.
Okay. Per employee.
Per employee.
And I guess that'll depend, obviously, if your employees are all working in a factory, say, then that they will spend less on office supplies. But if they're behind a computer and working in an office,
Not strictly true, because if you're in a warehouse environment or a factory environment, you need packaging and tape and safety equipment and all of those things. So that's not really it. But it is what, an accountant or a design studio will be completely different.
Yes.
In terms of per employee. But the average still sits the same.
And just to be clear then, when you talk about office supplies, because reference paper and staplers and stuff like that, but talk us through the kind of the broad, what this is, I mean, in simple terms, it's stuff that is bought for an office. So some of this includes like tea bags and things.
Absolutely it does. Tea, coffee, signs on the wall.
Toilet rolls.
Washing up liquid.
Okay.
Bleach, cleaning equipment of all descriptions. I mean, there are over 20,000 products covering everything that an office needs.
Okay, and that, so again,
including office furniture, actually, which is a big plus for us.
So this is where the average kind of comes in. So it's not about £300 or £400 a year on paper and pens necessarily. Although I do think there's one member of my staff that actually is managing that on their own. They are actually spending that amount of money.
Yeah.
Their capacity to go through notebooks is extraordinary, but I digress slightly. So this is where we're at. So, and I thought, well, the idea of, if you're saving, if you're spending £300, £400, £500 per employee, we know that on average the NEC business has five or six staff working in it. Some have more, but on average half a dozen people in the business is where we're at in EC, which suggests that on average businesses in EC are spending somewhere between £2,500 and £3,000 a year on office supplies. Well, between £2,000 and £3,000on office supplies. And you came to me and said, I said, well, how much, Chris, can we save people?
I did. Are we going to do another quiz?
Come on, tell us what you said.
I think it's between 20 and 30%, but it's very difficult to predict, because it obviously depends on what each individual business actually buys.
But my logic at that point, then, cracky, okay, so let's say 25% as an average, that's a quarter, so someone's spending £2,000 a year, I can save them £500. I thought, well, that's amazing, because that buys them like their annual pass for the training courses.
Absolutely.
For instance, so this is a material thing that if we can, and now at this point, this way it got my attention, because the idea of actually being able to go out to our members, another reason to join EC is because actually you will save meaningful sums, not £10 here or there, but actually meaningful sums across the year, was really interesting. So you took me down to London and we had a meeting.
We did.
In a very swanky office, and with a very nice man and his team. So let's talk about the model and how this works then, because this, again, I think this will genuinely be quite interesting for people. So we went for a meeting with a company called Office Power.
We did. Office Power is a subsidiary company of a business called Your Office, who, if you Google, many of you will find is a reseller of office supplies. They made a decision 3 to 4 years ago that as a business they couldn't grow without sacrificing margin, so had to change their direction slightly. That change of direction coincided with changes happening within the industry at large, so they created Office Power, which essentially cuts a lot of cost out of the distribution chain of office supplies.
Okay.
So it makes it a very efficient route to market for an office supplies manufacturer.
Okay, so what they did then was effectively they started to provide almost like the back end for office supply companies.
That's a very good description. That's exactly what they did. And everything post sale is dealt with by Office Power.
So customer service,
yep.
Invoicing, credit control,
distribution,
all the dispatch and
and everything.
And indeed all the stock holding, etc.
Well, the stock holding is under Office Power's influence, but it's actually a business called Spices that holds the stock.
Now this I found fascinating because obviously we all know the office supply I had, so when I started out on my own as a marketing consultant, gosh, nearly 15 years ago now, one of my first clients was an office supply business based in West Bromwich. And I did learn quite a bit about the industry at that point. And even going back then, as I say, 15 years ago, the market, the office supply market, was heavily commoditized. It was people typically would kind of were buying on price at the end of the day. There is a difference between if you've got a ream of 80 GSM paper from one supplier or another, it's kind of a bit difficult to get loyalty on brand. It's a commodity that people buy for what they need. So I knew, this much at least. But what I didn't realise till you told me is that pretty much every office product that's bought in this country actually comes, the source of it, goes back to just two organisations.
It does. The marketplace is quite fragmented, but something approaching 40% of it is covered by your local office supplies dealer.
Yes.
And your local office supplies dealer will buy from one of two wholesalers.
Yeah.
One of which is Spices.
Yeah.
Which are behind this project.
Okay. Who's the other wholesaler?
It's called Vow. They're based in Sheffield. And they're both of relatively equal size, if you like, and have dominated the office supplies market in the UK for 20 years.
So even places like, Viking, for instance, they still buy from these same wholesalers?
They are, but they wouldn't buy their whole range from there.
Okay.
They will buy some fast-moving products for stock, and then the tail end they would buy from one of the wholesalers.
Okay, all right. So going back to your office then.
Yep.
So, and the conversations and the arrangements that we have with them. So effectively, we set up a new company, the Best Office Supplies, and we effectively became, from the perspective of Office Power, our status with them is effectively the same as the other independent office supply companies that
Correct.
They are
yep.
That they're working with. And so they give us access. We got a really good web platform that
we did.
Was provided, as you say, all the invoicing. People are able to get 30-day accounts. It's all handled by Office Power. They take care of all this. All the products that are on the website that are able to be ordered are all dispatched by them. If people have got any questions or queries, and all the customer service is fundamentally handled by them.
Yep.
And so we were able to kind of go ahead and look at this. But the difference between our approach and the office supply companies, somewhat unusually, is we didn't want to make any money. But it's true, isn't it?
It's absolutely true. It's the concept is of a buying group to deliver a benefit to the EC members with little or no commitment on their part, to be fair, certainly to start with.
Yep.
And in order to make sure that happened, we do it not for profit.
Yeah, and so so we launched this with a modest little fanfare in February, and we'd done quite a bit of work to establish this. I mean, you spent a lot of time working through the pricing. Obviously, we were offering free postage and packing on invoices over a certain amount, on orders over
£50.
Over 50 quid, you would ship it for free. Obviously, we've got to cover the cost of the shipping, which when you're selling stuff normally, and our audience here are all business owners, will recognise this, obviously, you've got margin on the product that you're selling.
Yep.
But when you've got no margin on the product that you're selling, if you're paying out and covering the carriage on every order, then you kind of go out of business because it becomes a charitable giving.
Correct.
As such. And even despite us going out at cost, what we encountered straight away with some people is that, well, how can that be? You know, at a cost, Nigel, because I can go on tour, Amazon, Viking, anywhere, you know, other places, and I can find this particular ink cartridge, say, at a lower price. So you can't possibly be selling at cost, Nigel. You are lying to us. Was some of the feedback we had, which I'll be honest, Chris, upset me a little bit because
I'm sure it did. It's a little bit strong, to be fair, but. Accusations like that, in my opinion, come for two reasons. Either somebody's been burnt somewhere before,
mm-hmm.
Or it's something they would do. So we don't lie. It was an honest way of going to market. There was an issue with it, and the issue is that we went at a flat rate.
Yeah.
So we went at cost plus a little bit to cover the carriage. And that isn't what the marketplace in general does.
So just to be clear, so what we endeavoured to do was there was a very small, literally, you know, decimal points of percents added to the actual physical, actual cost of the product.
Yep.
And our only aim with that decimal points of a percent was to cover the carriage costs, effectively, because we were setting out not to make any money on this, but to maximise the savings for EC members. And I was quite a little bit surprised, because you'd done all the legwork on this, and so I genuinely was a little bit surprised that we were starting. Well, you're not any cheaper. So I'm saying, well, how can people be going out and finding these products? You know, we're selling them at cost. We know we've got it through an effective model. We know we're working with, you know, big players in the industry here. Our buying power, you know, from our perspective, is as good as it's out there. How on earth can people be finding it cheaper? And this again, I think is quite interesting.
Okay, it's back to the flat rate again. To be honest, I mean, we've got to bring into the mix, of course, that office power don't perform for free.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've agreed to perform for free,
yeah,
office power don't. So yeah, what we went out to market with was our base cost plus office power's charges,
yeah,
plus a little bit for
a little slice for the
to cover the carriage. What happens in the and then went out with what we felt was, you know, honest, good honest pricing, no mm-hmm. promotions, no gimmicks, nothing, just good honest pricing. And a packet of Rolos. That's the only gimmick we came up with.
Yeah.
So it was a flat rate right across the board. What happens in the real world is that many people use predominantly inkjet cartridges, but other products as well, certainly paper,
mm-hmm.
use them as their customer acquisition tool.
Yeah.
Or loss leaders, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you that your office... I'm not sure if I'm speaking out of turn here, actually, but I'll say
there's
it anyway.
There's only three people listening, so you're all right.
Your office, the cost of acquiring a customer at your office is £74. Right. And that's mainly through pay-per-click and other online activities. Only a very small percentage, and I'm sorry, I'm not being vague here on purpose, I just can't remember the actual number, but it's a single-figure number in percentage terms, go on to order again.
Uh-huh.
So if you actually put that into the equation, the cost of acquiring a customer for your office is £200.
Okay.
So certain other businesses that perhaps don't have the deep pockets that your office have to go on PPC, instead of it costing them £300-400 to acquire a customer via PPC, they lose money on an inkjet cartridge. So instead of selling it for £16, which is what its market price is,
mm-hmm.
they sell it for a tenner.
Right.
And that £4, £5 is their cost of acquiring a customer.
Okay.
Which, if you put that in terms of £70,
yeah,
that is what your office spend acquiring a customer.
Yes.
That's a pretty good way of acquiring customers.
Yeah. Okay. So some products, which people use a lot, are used in this particular market, and we all can relate to this and understand it,
yeah,
are used as loss leaders.
Yeah.
And therefore, we were going out there saying, we're selling at cost, and because our cost prices were, on some products, higher than, by definition, the prices that other suppliers were putting out there, because they were deliberately going out there under cost.
Correct.
And so our premise that actually, you know, we are setting up a buying group here, we're doing this not for profit, we will save you significant sums of money across the year, straight away start to come under scrutiny. Well, how can that be? Because I can get my inkjet cartridges, you know, for less money if I go to these other places.
Correct, but it's only a perception, because the truth of the matter is, if you buy all your office supplies from the best office, including the fact that you are, I know you wouldn't do this, guys out there, but you're overpaying for your inks, mm-hmm. there would be enough saving in the basket of products across the year to make sure on an annual basis you saved money.
Yeah.
But that message is very, very difficult to get across.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because, and again, Chris and I had a number of conversations, because I'm saying, look, you know, this is, it's like, it's buying office supplies. It's not that important in the whole scheme of things on a daily basis. You know, there's much more important things that business owners have to worry about than where to get their office supplies from. But then something very interesting started to emerge. Because we got feedback from not a huge number of members, but you know, relatively small, I don't know, half a dozen or so people, perhaps a dozen people in total, who were what became clear is that when they were going to order, well, we'll stick with inkjets because just as an example, they were going to order inkjets. They were spending what was, and in the whole scheme of things, not a huge amount of time, but 20 minutes online looking at the price of their particular cartridge on half a dozen different suppliers, and spending 20 minutes to save relatively small amounts of money. And I do get, well, everything, you've got to watch the pennies, you know, because then the pounds look after themselves. I do absolutely understand the necessity for any business to have a tight control over its cost. But it was very, very interesting for me, and almost an anathema to me to some degree, because I don't like profligate spending in my business. I uncover people have not done sensible things, I will get upset about that. But I also recognise the value, you know, the most important commodity, if you like, in my business, and I believe it's true, everybody listening to this now, our single most important commodity in our business is time. And our time is at the top of that list. The time of our staff is a very close second to it. And there is a balance to be made here between the you know, the convenience of buying stuff at a fair and acceptable price and the time involved that's necessary to go and get the best price on every item all the time. And ultimately, you know, as individuals, we all make our own choices. But I know that if any business owner spends half an hour focused on bringing in new customers, and does the right things and thinks in the right way, the impact on their business will be way more significant than the 10, 20, even 50 quid that they might save spending that time instead on trying to eradicate cost. And it was a very, very interesting learn for me that we've got a chunk of people within Entrepreneur Circle who will actually, and again, I'm not judging here at all, I'm just playing it back as an observation, and I'm interested, Chris, in your perspective on it, and indeed the people listening to this now, because that there are people who whose main priority, as defined by their actions and by their behaviours, is to ensure that they buy every item at the best possible price. And, well, that seems like a sensible thing to do, but the price they pay for doing that is a significant one in terms of the time that is therefore required to pull that off successfully. And the opportunity cost in almost all these cases of pursuing that lower price, the opportunity cost of that is way higher than the savings that can be acquired. But recognising that there is a chunk of people, that's where things are at. And I just can't, I really struggle to relate to that. My natural space is I want a fair price, but I don't care if I overpay a little bit on a particular item or one purchase order, because I know that across the piece, I'm going to get the right kind of value. And it was a real kind of learn for me and a real surprise. And it was interesting, given how hard I No, I've been banging the drum for 8 years now on the importance of and the difference that it makes to a business of the business owner spending 90 minutes a day working on the business rather than in the business. I'm like, oh shit. And I've made some progress with that, and lots of people do the 90 minutes, although, you know, I know there's lots that still don't. And what's interesting now is the people that are not doing the 90 minutes are happy to spend the time kind of shopping around. And again, even talking about this now, I know what will be happening. Well, it's all for you, Nigel, you know, but I need to save the money. And I get that. I do get that the price is important, but you have to look at the bigger picture. And the price is not just the particular item you're buying today. It's your spend across a number of months or across a whole year. And it's the time that you need to spend to get that best price. The price you are paying for that time is massive compared to the savings that you're making. Am I making sense here, Chris?
You're certainly making sense to me, Nigel, but there's an extra bit in this, because you're not overpaying for your office supplies. Your office supplies as a package you will save money on. But within that basket, there will be people, if you spot buy, there will be opportunities to spot buy out there at cheaper prices on certain products. But the time versus cost benefit is just isn't there. Yeah. It isn't there, especially if you have to do it time after time after time.
Because we are genuinely going in and providing office supplies at on a non-profit basis.
Correct.
And no one else is doing that. And, you know, the office power model that we're utilising, there is a bit of cost in there around the office power piece, but it's, you know, in the whole scheme of things, it's not a significant cost. And by pulling this buying group together, we know we can, over the course of a year, save a business, you know, hundreds of pounds. And, of course, when we're getting people to submit their orders or their invoices of things they've ordered in the past, and we look at the basket, what we're finding every time.
We're having great success. I mean, the first basket we did, Nigel, was actually for the EC, if you remember.
It was.
Where there were some huge savings.
I said, I better test this.
Can you remember that? I can't actually remember what the
figures
were.
Well, some of the individual products we were saving as high as 75%, but the cost on our order, we looked at 2 months worth of orders, and the savings for us was closer to 40% than it was to 30%. And again, you know, this is being born out, we've had other businesses in the same kind of ballpark.
Yeah.
And part of that, have I been overpaying in the past? But I can't. Well, not possibly.
You haven't been overpaying in the past. What's happened is the route to market has changed within the industry, and it's become more efficient. It isn't being used by everybody, but it is being used by us, and those efficiencies we're passing on to you and to your members.
And I mean that we've got we've got several hundred EC members now have become customers of the best office supplies. I'm not gonna lie, we hoped by this point it would have been quite a bit more
we did
than have used it. And I think, you know, that there are a couple of reasons for that. One is the it just isn't, for some people, it's just not important enough in the list to shift the behaviour.
Well, I think we lost a bit of trust, Nigel, I think, at the start, because of the price of inks in particular.
Yeah.
And again, it's because we went to price flat.
Yeah.
I am currently working on, you need to agree this, by the way, but I'm currently working on a different pricing scheme that is still not for profit.
Yeah,
but will incorporate loss leaders where necessary.
Yeah,
okay. But obviously that means just because we're not for profit doesn't mean we are for loss. Whatever we lose there, we have to make up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So the basket will still not be not for profit, but within that basket there will be products where we've lost money.
Yeah.
And products where we've made money.
Yeah.
So that across the piece, it's not for profit, and that will, to a certain extent, ease the lack of trust when somebody finds a product online that's significantly cheaper.
Because that lack of trust came from us saying, look, we're putting this out, we're selling this at cost. And then people then finding, well, how can you be? Because this is cheaper somewhere else.
Absolutely.
And therefore, Nigel's lying. That in a very simple sense, is kind of what happened. And I do reckon, you know, again, as with all things, if I could wind the clock back and you know, have a go again at this, I probably would have. Everything we said was right. We were putting this out at cost. We knew in truth that they were loss leaders in the market. That wasn't a surprise to us when we found that out, and we probably, you know, could have adjusted and done what we're doing now. So we're looking, because what this is about, my only reason to do this is to benefit the members of Entrepreneur Circle and create a tangible fiscal, you know, or incentive slash reward for being part of EC. If you remember EC member, you know, you're going to save a few hundred pounds a year on your office supplies. I mean, for our essential members, their whole membership could be funded by the savings that they make. So they get all the benefits of EC at like no cost at all. That was what I was trying to do in the beginning here. And it has been, it's like anything, when you go into a particular market or industry, there's always stuff going on that isn't immediately apparent, and you discover and you learn, and that's what's gone on. On here. So Chris, the Best Office Supplies is it's absolutely up and running now.
Absolutely.
We've got a lady called Naomi who's working with us.
We have.
And what Naomi is spending her working weeks doing is, you know, if people just send to us, to Naomi, all you gotta do is just pull off your last two or three or one decent, you know, office supply order, what have you paid in the past, send that to Naomi. She will then send you back a line-by-line comparative. And on all those that we've done, I think I'm right in saying on all those, have we had anybody yet where we haven't been able to save them, you know, significant sums in your...
Oh, it's varied, to be honest. I mean, most of the savings are in the region that we've said, 20 to 30%. But if there's a mix of ink on there, then obviously that reduces that quite a lot.
Yeah.
Also, high-ticket items. You know, if you're going to spend £600 or £700 on a shredder,
Yes,
we can be very competitive, and yes, we can save you some money, but we won't save you 30% on a £700 shredder, because it isn't there in the first place for anybody. On a mixture of general office products, we will save people 20 to 30%, and that has been borne out in what's happening. What's also been borne out, by the way, is that when we've had the opportunity to have a conversation with a potential buyer of office supplies, they have their own basket.
Yes.
So we reprice for that customer exactly according to their own basket, so that they get the savings they expect on the products that they buy.
So hang on. So are you saying there then that if customers come to you with, well, this is stuff that we in our office, this is what we buy regularly, whatever it might be. This is what we buy regularly, and you would actually put almost like a separate special price together for that business. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You could call it your favourites if you like. You can save favourites on the site if you wish. We will reprice those favourites to suit what you buy.
Okay. And again, it begs the question, but if we're selling this on a not-for-profit basis anyway, so how can we adjust that pricing if it's already not-for-profit?
Okay, you're getting quite complex now, to be fair. But the general site price will have an amount of money that it is losing on inkjet cartridges.
Yes.
That it will then make up through...
Elsewhere. Yeah.
General office files, whatever.
Other
product categories.
Yeah.
Depending on which product categories you're using, if we've been heavy in one area, we can just adjust the mix accordingly.
Yeah, I get you. So again, if people come to you with, this is what we buy, you will put together a package for them on a not-for-profit pricing basis.
Absolutely.
So which you are confident, we are confident, will save you significant sums, because we know that the industry as a whole can't do that, because other players exist to make a profit.
Well, absolutely, and those profits, those gross profits, range between 30% and 40%, which is, if you now look at the logic of what we've said, that's where the saving comes from. We're not magicians. It's because we've taken a chunk out of the margin that is normally made within the industry.
So look, I mean, I hopefully that's that makes sense. Not an attempt at a sales pitch at all. I genuinely thought we would find it interesting from a number of perspectives, really, just to know what we have done here, what we're striving to do. At the end of the day, already there's enough volume here to suggest that this is something that we'll be progressing and pursuing. But the more members that come on board with this, the easier it will be for us to go out there and get other arrangements beyond office supplies with, as you alluded to earlier on, Chris, other things, whether it's electricity or know, banking's been taught, all sorts of things. But once we've got the kind of established principles of a buying group, we've got these businesses here that are buying this, we can then go and adopt a similar approach with other non-core, that's what you call them, non-core activities, that again can just layer up and increase the savings and the benefits, therefore, that are available to EC members. So overall then, looking back, just summarise for me then, Chris, the kind of lessons learned on this whole piece. Because if we were coming at this again, what would we do differently?
We would certainly do the pricing differently, because we tried to be honest and true, which was the flat rate and a markup on every single product just to cover the carriage. And it caught us out, to mm-hmm. be fair. It absolutely caught us out. That the ferocity of the exchanges absolutely surprised me.
Yeah.
For a product range that nobody really cares about, when they found pricing elsewhere that was cheaper, they were certainly very vocal.
My favourite one, actually, my favourite one on this. So I had a very indignant email from one member who said, he wrote to me and said, I've looked at your office supplies site. And what you're saying clearly isn't true. He said, and this particular thing was paper. And he said, I buy my paper at, I forget now, I'm going to get the numbers wrong here, but he brought his, I buy my paper at £5, and on your side it's at 19. And the difference was when we, I went back, so I said, shop, this cannot be the case. There's just absolutely no way that we are that far off on a £5 product. And of course, he was comparing the cost of one ream with a box of 10.
Yeah.
And so there was some of that. Oh, that was the exception. We did have a little titter. Although the initial response, because when you get emails like that in, and again, and people listening will relate, it's horrible, isn't it, when someone comes to you and says,
absolutely.
Oh, that's not right. Oh, my God.
No.
What's happened?
Especially when the word liar gets used, that really gets a bit serious. We went to market with a basket. And I emailed you this, Nigel, and I've forgotten the phrase that I used now. But I was quite proud of it at the time. And the phrase was something along the lines of, we expected our potential members, or existing members,
yes.
to worry about the basket.
Yes.
When it's not their worry to have, it's our worry to have. And therefore, we should price according to a basket, rather than expect the customer to give us that basket to price.
Yes.
And that's what the new pricing will reflect. Yeah. The new pricing will assume a basket and therefore be able to cope with loss leaders. We're going to try it for 3 months to see how that works, to make sure it is better. It should well be better. There shouldn't be any surprises in there.
Yeah.
I am not saying, by the way, that we will be the cheapest in the world on every single product. We offer 20,000 products.
Yeah.
That's an impossibility for me to say
we'll
be the cheapest on them all. But we will save you significant amounts of money on a basket of those.
Yeah.
I don't expect anybody to buy 20,000 products, but on an assortment of products from that range of 20,000, we will save you significant amounts of money.
Yeah, and the way to access it is just to come and give it a treat. You can go to the website, which is thebestofficesupplies.co.uk.
It is.
Or people can email. Naomi is the best person to go to, isn't she?
She is. She is.
Email Naomi, N-A-O-M-I, at thebestofficesupplies.co.uk. Then she can, and the best way to do it is to tell her what you want, what you're buying. And one of the best ways to do that, either just send her a list or send her a copy of a recent invoice or order that you've had that has on there the stuff that you buy. And if you do that, she will look to pull together, you know, bespoke pricing for you. That all we want to do here is cover the costs. This is a non-for-profit initiative designed to save, you know, generate benefits into EC members to make the EC more attractive. And if you give us a chance, we've got a chance at, you know, we'll do our utmost to make that happen. And as I said, it generally isn't a sales pitch. And I think, you know, I'll ask Chris for his final thoughts on it in a moment or two. The piece I would make here is the importance. That message I had about time and about understanding, you know, in any particular day for each of us, so important that we spend our time on the things that matter most. And I don't trivialise anything here. We've all got things that we have to do, and I get that. I'm not asking anybody to be profligate and waste money on stuff that they could get more cheaply, but I know that what we'll do for you here is across the board, across the gear, we can save every member quite a considerable sum, and that's why I wanted to devote some time in this broadcast today just to try and explain that fully so people would at least understand what it is we're trying to do and a bit more about how we're trying to do it. But if you are spending time doing things that are below your pay grade that other people could do, recognize, and that's not about office supplies here at all, recognize the price you are paying for that in terms of lost opportunity to invest that time in the things that would make the biggest difference, because none of us can get yesterday back. It's gone. The moment we're in now is the one that we can control most, and what we do for the rest of today and tomorrow, there are opportunities for all of us to give our focus to the things that will make the biggest differences, and that's the most important thing. And sometimes the things that make the biggest difference are not the things that we naturally gravitate to, because they are a little bit scary and they're a little bit bigger, and it can be easy to get sucked into the small stuff. We all do it. I still do it, even though I'm pretty good at this, but I do recognize that there's an opportunity here for you to park one little thing in your business and know for certain that you'll be looked after, you know, by Chris and the team and myself. Final comments or thoughts from you, Chris, on this?
Final comment from me is that office supplies isn't the focus. Office supplies is the start of what I hope to build into something very significant for you to use as an EC member. In summary, the stuff that gets in the way is the stuff that we want to provide.
That's the botcast. An Easter botcast. I've got an egg here for you.
Thank you very much. I've got one for you.
Happy Easter, Chris. Okay, guys, drive safely wherever you are on the road today. That's been helpful. Got a very different botcast for you next month. Coming back with almost couldn't be more different. From the sublime to the ridiculous. And back with you in a month's time. I will see you then. Cheerio.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell.